You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so I have Albert DiRienzo on the line. He's Chief Innovation Officer over at One Health Group. Albert, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam.
So this is a great topic, and I tell you, I've been preparing for this interview and just talking with friends and just thinking about the evolution of our relationship with our pets. So thinking about how, you know, maybe I grew up or maybe some others grew up and their relationship with their pet versus maybe the progress we've made, and specifically, and we'll be talking about today in veterinary medicine. I'm really excited to get into, you know, maybe some of where we're at today, what it's going to look like, hopefully going into the future, and how we're going to just continue to improve the lives of our pets. Sure. So we're excited to get into the topic, but we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Albert, we at Mission Matters amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Albert, what mission matters to you?
Yeah, for me, it's really the mission of One Health Group, which is about bringing holistic, personalized health to animals, and animals in the broadest sense. We think of companion animals, but also equine production animals and so forth. So it's really about giving them a better life.
It's great. Love bringing mission-based entrepreneurs and experts on the line to share why they do what they do, how they're doing it, and what we can all learn from it to improve in the marketplace, of course. So awesome to have you on. But just to get this started, let's go maybe a little bit further into your background. So how did you get started on this path?
Yeah, so my background has been about 30 years in medicine, and everything from very simple devices like a blood pressure cuff or thermometer to very sophisticated devices like a CAT scanner or radiation oncology system. And I've actually been very fortunate in my career to bring over 100 solutions to market with major corporations like Philips Medical, Siemens Medical, mid-size like Welch Allyn, which is now owned by Baxter. And then I've also done a number of startups. So this One Health Group is actually my fifth startup. Three others were successful exits. The fourth, we were never able to really secure the funding we needed to get our solution to market because it hit at the same time that the dot-com bubble sort of bust. So, you know, it's been very exciting for me. I just have a passion for both human and animal health, and trying to improve the lives of those that are sort of the end users or recipients of these, but also for the clinician. In my case, I'm talking about veterinarians. So I want to make sure those veterinarians and the caretakers, animal caretakers, have the solutions that they need to bring about better outcomes. A little more on my background. So I'm both a computer scientist that's focused in artificial intelligence. I'm as well a forensic scientist, forensic science from chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear forensics, not like crime scene forensics. And I used to have an appointment as professor of forensic science in the Forensics and National Security Sciences Institute at Syracuse University. And then I was one of 13 appointed to the inaugural National Biodefense Science Board under two presidential administrations, where I focused mostly on diagnostics, some medical countermeasures, but also looking to predict and prevent events that would impact the American people, whether man-made or naturally occurring. And then I have a number of patents and publications and serve on a number of boards. So I'm pretty much a geek. That just likes to get these types of solutions out there into people's hands.
So sticking on your background a little longer, a lot of entrepreneurs, a lot of executives that watch this. And one of the things that I find really interesting about your background is, I mean, into the fifth startup already, multiple successful exits, great solution now, which we'll get further into, but you're also accomplished on the other end of things. So what I mean by that is a lot of times you find maybe the individual that kind of has the answers, the scientist in this case, right? Or that has the idea or something else. And they're maybe, they're maybe adept or good at creating the product or figuring out the solution, but not always on the startup side or the business, launching it, exit, like the mechanics of business. Like, right. What do you attribute maybe to some of your success in being able to kind of play both sides? That's not an always easy game to play.
Yeah, I understand. I think I've just had some great mentors throughout my career, right? People who have, taken me under their wing, so to speak, to show me things in accounting or in finance or law. Certainly as a scientist and a technologist, I understand applying for patents. And I understand how to do product development and even FDA regulations, right? Because that's part of my world that I have to live in. But I've been mentored by some wonderful venture capitalists, some wonderful angel investors, clinicians who also had a business mindset. And then I will say my, quite honestly, my mother and father were very supportive of everything I was pursuing from a very young age. And they did amazing things themselves. And, so I was very fortunate to have that in upbringing. But again, just wonderful people I've met along the journey. Made plenty of mistakes, but I've been able to course correct. And that's sort of where I'm at today.
Yeah. So if you could go back to, let's just say that Albert, that's maybe still in that, first or second startup. Yeah. And obviously we all learn from the ups and downs, and it doesn't have to be specific from the standpoint of what went right or wrong with that business, but just like, what's some of the advice if you were in the mentor shoes, mentoring yourself back then, that you would have told him?
Yeah, I think probably the primary would be that the funding journey actually typically takes longer than you anticipate. And you think
I think that would be my answer to everything. It's going to take longer than you think, Adam.
I hear you. It's interesting because you think you have a great idea. Yeah. And you think, oh, my God, everybody's going to love this and it's going to be a great product or a great solution. It's meeting an unmet need. Yeah. And why isn't everybody just throwing money at me? Yeah. And so the fundraising journey is an interesting one. It's a very diverse one, and it's probably the most challenging. So, I naively so thought that the funding was going to rapidly flow, and it typically doesn't. So I'd say that would be the primary. And then the secondary, which is a problem with most engineers, is they want perfection. And so that product that you want to introduce to market, you're looking to have it just perfect. You want everything to be right, even things that nobody would ever notice because it's so in the details, in the electronics, the software, the optics, whatever the case may be. So you have to learn to say, I've met my requirements. The product meets its functional goals, its safety goals, its efficacy and so forth. And now let me get that to market, then I can continue to refine. So sometimes we, try a little bit too much, a little OCD, and we want everything just to be perfect in the way we want.
So I think you covered about 80% of what our first time entrepreneurs go through. Like in those two things, I'm like, the sea doesn't part and everybody doesn't run to your business because you open it. Oh, if only it worked that way, right? The funding doesn't just flow in. Like it takes perseverance. It takes some time, and you got to have a good idea, ideally, or if not a great idea, then you got to be able to great at execution, but something has to give. There has to be something that breaks through the market, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think you have to be flexible because while you may have something in your mind how all this is going to flow, you need to be taught along the way. You need to be able to course correct or pivot, to adjust what you're attempting to bring to market. You need to be a sponge and really learn from all these other people who have done it before. But I will tell you, every journey is different. This one that I'm on now, while I have experience, it's yet again different in some ways, especially because it's more focused on animal health, which is really more up and coming compared to what I was doing before, which was on the human side.
So what drew you, so sticking to that point, what drew you to kind of shifting over to animal health on this particular startup? So like what was it that took you this path? Because obviously you could have done other things. I'm sure as an entrepreneur, you have no shortage of ideas like many entrepreneurs out there. What drew you to this?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I'll really say it goes back to my biodefense, National Biodefense Science Board. And that's the reason the company's called One Health. One Health is actually a thing, right? It's that intersection of human and animal health and environmental variables. And a lot of things that impact humans start in animals, and they make a leap to human. A lot of things that impact humans also start in the environment, you know, vector-borne diseases, like things that come from fleas and ticks and things of that nature. You know what? And then the animals get a lot of our chronic diseases. So the integration of all those, what are the new learnings that we can find that will benefit both animal and human and environment all the way around? Now, the reason I'm leading with animal first is it has really been lacking. You know, where we were 20 years ago in veterinary medicine is very different than today and is yet again going to be different in the future. Mm-hmm. And they just haven't had the benefit of what the human health sector has had to really impact animal health. On top of that, you know, animal health is a reflection. We're intrinsically linked. So what's going on with them is also impacting us. But more importantly, you know, animals are their family members now, right? And we want to try to increase that longevity of life. We want to try to give them healthier life, better quality of life. And so it's just a passion to impact that, knowing that it will eventually impact the human space as well. But in that One Health paradigm, which I did under biodefense, you know, that's really what gave me the bug. And then as I got to know more veterinarians and as I got to talk with more pet parents and farmers and clinical researchers and so forth, you know, I just saw that there was a huge void.
Maybe because myself, even when I was preparing for this, I was thinking about our pet friends and, you know, as members of family and things like that, exactly as you said, but I didn't really consider the other side of things. So with the farmers and production and things like that, maybe to comment on that a little bit and tell us a little bit about like where you see opportunity there.
Yeah, absolutely. So take cattle farming or, you know, cattle ranching, I should say, or things raising pigs. And so from the time of conception for the sow in the pig case or the heifer in the cow case to several weeks after the piglet is born or the calf is born, there's about a 12 to 13% loss rate. It could be from the mother or it might be with the baby. And so when you think about that, there's animal suffering that's occurring, right? And there's all sorts of reasons that occurs. There's also an impact to if it's cattle or dairy cattle, you know, there's an impact to the dairy product supply. If it's feedstock, there's an impact there. When you think about the clinical research side, there's no pharmaceutical that is made that doesn't have some rodent testing, for instance, right? And so you want to ensure again that they're treated humanely, that they're safe, their well-being is okay. Can you imagine if you don't have to necessarily sacrifice an animal because you're collecting the data you need and not having to perform that autopsy, you get that information that can help then again develop the drug. So not only is it a business winner for the, you know, the rancher or the clinical research organization, but it's also a win for the animal and, you know, bringing about a better quality of life.
Let's go a little bit further into One Health Solution, One Health Group. So first tell me a little, you tried a little bit, but let's go further. So tell me more about the company.
Yeah. So One Health Group started in July 2017. We're really focused 100% now on animal health. And what we're about is bringing breakthrough solutions, not the next incremental solution, but truly breakthrough solutions to the market. And we're looking to do that for screening, monitoring, diagnostics, and also therapeutics. And so, you know, our initial solution, which we can talk a little bit more about, it really is a sensor platform as well as a mobile app, cloud-based dashboard. and predictive analytics that are incorporated and all that. But the goal is back to providing better clinical outcomes, for that animal that may be engaging a veterinarian, so the animal health professional, to provide a better quality of life, for workflow, to improve workflow and put the tools into the hands of the professionals that they need that can help bring about this better quality of care, create stickiness between, let's say, a pet parent or the rancher and the animal health professional and the animal caretaker. And then, we really want to see this sort of holistic impact. The ultimate goal is really personalized health for each individual animal, just like you want to provide personalized health for the human. Mm-hmm. And so with that, if we detect something before it actually is going to occur, so predictive analytics, then we can intervene. Maybe it's a nutritional modification. Maybe it's a lifestyle change as far as exercise. Maybe it's a physical therapy or a new drug. But the goal is to take the earliest intervention as possible, the most minimal intervention as possible, and again, try to extend that life and that quality of life. So that's really our passion. I know that's a long-winded answer, but there's a lot wrapped into what we're really trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and it's not really. I mean, it's pretty straightforward. So it's two sides of the coin here. If you look if we separate the conversation somewhat, you have the commercial side, which is obviously the farming side. And then you have, let's just say, the personal side, which is, our family pets, right? So on the family pet side of things, you can maybe extend a life. You can also maybe decrease over time the cost of care because you can predict or you can catch things sooner. So the same as human medicine. So there's a couple wins there. And then for the actual clinician, on their end, they would ideally, be able to provide better treatment. So there's a lot of wins there. On the commercial side, you're able to, a lot of those same benefits exist, but it's possible to save time. It's possible to save money. It's possible to improve the lifespan or the quality of life for many of the animals that are, on the commercial side of things. Am I understanding that right? Like high level, like macro?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact, with what we develop, it doesn't require specialized training for the veterinarian or the vet tech. We try to keep it very straightforward, very intuitive, put the power in their hands to make the clinical decisions. On top of that, when you think of veterinary medicine of old, and I don't mean this offensively, everything has had to evolve, right? Everything's not in that perfect state and never will be. I mean, we're always going to continue to improve. But when you think of the tools and the instruments that the veterinarians got to use in the past or had at their disposal, a lot of those were designed for human applications.
Yeah.
And then they were morphed sort of into this animal space. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of cases, not in all, I don't mean to generalize, but it's substandard. Now you see a lot of instrumentation, pharmaceuticals, nutrition-related things, workflow, they're all focused specifically on that veterinary space or on that animal health space. And that's really, our passion, what we're trying to do, except we're trying to make it, again, very simple, very intuitive, and where one solution fits many needs instead of having to have multiple instruments, for instance, to try to collect the appropriate information on the animal. We're also trying to make it simple. So I don't know if you've ever seen them trying to take blood pressure on a cat or a dog in an office. Yeah. They get white coat hypertension just like humans do.
Yeah.
So they're very nervous. It's not a great sort of scenario. And they rarely ever do take blood pressure on cats or dogs unless they're dealing with some sort of maybe cardiovascular issue, just because it's not simple. Our solution, which again, we can talk a little bit more about, can take that blood pressure in a non-contact or near contact manner with no cuff, with no machine noise, anything like that. So, it just puts the animal at ease and it gives the information to the clinician they need.
Yeah. Let's get into the solution. So voice, tell us about it.
Yeah. So voice is a non-contact. It's sort of this holistic solution. And being a nerd, I just sort of jump right to the technical stuff. So forget
get into it. We're not scared.
No, I appreciate it. So what it is really a data acquisition node. So we'll say, a sensor that weighs about an ounce. And it's very small. Maybe if you stacked, you know, six quarters, that's about how thick it is. And the surface area would be about that as a quarter. But it can be worn in a collar or a harness. It can go on a handheld. It can be embedded in a piece of, you know, furniture, a feeder, whatever the case may be, an exam table, for instance. And it collects context-based information anywhere, anytime, and can present that data. Now, when I say context-based, we know what the animal is doing, the time the vital signs were collected. So were they jogging? Were they eating? Were they laying on their side? Were they sleeping? So we can tell the clinician, we can inform them, or the rancher, or the scientist, what that animal was doing when this biomedical data was collected. And that information is presented to a mobile app with general health status. And then that information is also presented to a cloud-based dashboard that has extensive analytics. Now, the dashboard, you can monitor multiple animals concurrently, just because you have more real estate. But you can also do that on your mobile app. In addition, we have something that are called care flows that automatically program that sensor to the particular workflow, you might say, or the data that the caretaker, the professional wants to collect. So let's say you have a diabetic cat. Well, there's a care flow that is for monitoring diabetes that automatically programs that sensor that would go with your cat to tell you what is the cat's health state. And alerts are given to the pet parent or the rancher or to the veterinarian when certain thresholds are exceeded, or let's say in the other case, they're not met. And so we've tried to provide this solution that can be used in clinic, but it can also go home with the animal if, let's say, they had surgery or they're on a weight loss program or they have some sort of chronic disease. This can go home with them and monitor them in a very friendly manner, non-invasive, very easy to use manner, and collect that data and report that data out. I mean, we collect billions of samples a second that we send to the cloud. We have already over a million hours of animal data collected.
Wow.
That we help refine our algorithms with and continue to move our solution forward.
And so, I mean, just that alone, like that can possibly, your last example, that can cut down on maybe visits, that can cut down on, that can obviously provide more real-time data in response to the vet, as opposed to maybe a, and you know, I won't say arbitrary, but an appointment where you say, come in and XYZ, you know, how many days or something like that, and you get some real-time data. It seems like all these things, just like it's progressing on the human side of things with wearables, right?
Right.
On the human side with wearables and monitoring for, you know, heart attacks and all these other things. Yeah. It sounds to me like this is a step in that same direction for animals.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the reasons we call the product Voice, right? We're trying to give the animal a voice. Yeah. I mean, so it's really challenging for the veterinarian because the animals in most cases are very good at masking pain.
Yeah.
Obviously they can't talk and communicate like the humans can. And ensuring compliance is incredibly difficult. So when that animal leaves the veterinarian's office or that veterinarian leaves the ranch after looking at the animal, they have no way of knowing other than what maybe the pet parent or the rancher is informing them as to what is the health state of that animal. So we can provide that information. We give them that window. The other thing that's pretty cool is with since COVID occurred, telemedicine in the veterinary space has really started to blossom. So now we give a solution that can be wherever that animal is and what, you know, whatever setting it is. And quite honestly, we don't care what the species is. We don't care what the breed is. We can provide that sort of insight to the animal health professional or the caretaker. Again, we don't try to make the clinical decision for them. That's not our area of expertise. We leave it to them. But now we try to put that power in their hand in a very simple to use and intuitive way.
Wow. And so let's, first off, amazing solution. And I get it, voice, right? We're giving the animals a voice in this sense and providing a way for them to communicate with the veterinarians and to provide the data that, you know, they can't do through their own voice. So great name, great branding. I get it. This is so, I mean, new, so revolutionary. How, tell me a little bit more about the go-to-market. Like, how do you get this out and get the word out about this solution?
Yeah, there's a couple potential approaches, and I will tell you, we haven't settled on one specific. I think it's going to be a blend. So one is working through strategics and distributors and other animal health companies that already have the channels, the sales, you know, the marketing, the branding, communication, the customer support. You know, they have all those types of things. So we would be their innovation engine, you might say, and then we would, you know, it could be a white label or it could be our solution going to market through those particular mechanisms. I will say we do have 70 plus issued patents already. We have six licensed patents and we have about another 20 patents pending. So, you know, licensing models work, or as I mentioned, we could be that innovation engine for any number of these. The other is that we take it to market ourselves and, you know, we build those channels, the sales force, you know, we have an e-commerce engine and things of that nature. And I think the reality is because we know what we do best, and I think we're going to be a company that's about 70% scientists and technologists, because we have a roadmap of new innovations that we want to bring to market. And we have a number of collaborators that we're working with that will continue to expand this platform. So I think it's going to be a blend of those two scenarios, sort of a hybrid model.
Yeah. So first off, Albert, it's been great having you on the show, learning more about your background, about this, your fifth startup, and how you're really innovating. I just have to ask, so what's next for the company? What's next for you? What's next for the company? The million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So I think there's a couple things. One is we do have this very nice, probably five-plus year product roadmap of things that we see can be positively impactful to the animal health space. The other thing is we're experts in ultra wideband radar. That's our primary mechanism that we use to collect data. And we're going to continue to expand that. We have a number of patents on that technology, and we're going to continue to move that forward. So I think, you know, those are two primaries. And then we are very open. We're highly collaborative. We're not protectionist. So I see evolving the relationships that we have with a number of our strategic partners. And I'm sure there's going to be many more to come.
It's awesome. Well, Albert, if somebody is watching this and they want to learn more or to connect with you and your team, I mean, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, so I think there's probably three ways. Go to the website, which is onehealthgroup.com. And, you know, there's a contact page in there. We have some general overview information and just feel free to reach out to us. I personally get every one of those contacts and I do respond. The other is you can go to our LinkedIn page. So we have a nice LinkedIn page with some posts and things of that nature, and you can reach out to us there. And then the third is you're welcome to reach out directly to me at albert.drienzo, if you could get my name there, at ohgcorp.com. But, you know, probably the easiest is the website.
Yeah, fantastic. And we'll put all that information in the show notes so that our audience can just head on over and just click on the link and head right on over and check out what you're doing. Okay. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with our platform, we're all about bringing on entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, why they do what they do, how they're doing it, what we can all learn from it. If that's the type of content that sounds new or fun or interesting to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line, just like Albert, and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Albert, I will continue to watch the progress, and I'm excited to see what's next. So thank you again for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me.